Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Welcome to Free State, everybody. We are live. We're not live to this podcast, but we're in our panic room. I arrived tonight and I saw, as far as the eye could see, just men in high-vis, men and women in high-vis jackets. And I thought, they've really laid out the security for Joe Brody now.
Drones.
We are in a secure location. I can't say where. Of course, everywhere, every room is a panic room as far as I'm concerned. I live 24 hours in a panic room.
Just before we came
in here, an absolutely beautiful retriever sniffing the room out for explosives.
Okay.
Yeah,
anyway, that's because I'm a subhuman scum, a traitor to Ireland, a disease. What's a globalist chill?
Globalist shills these
days. You traitor, globalist shill, you support women being raped. It's funny how, you know, that has opened the gates to a fantasy world. You know, opened the gates. It's like Mordor or the Lord of the Rings. You know, wow, the orcs assemble.
The Dark Lord.
And then, you know, it's like, Ireland is in flames. Ireland is burning and gangs are roaming the streets. Like, I'm living in Dublin now. And every morning I get the Lewis across town. I'm on the bus regularly. I'm up on the north side. I'm all over the place going to matches and, you know, every day on O'Connell Street. And I have to say, it may be disappointing to some of the listeners, but Dublin is
some of our new listeners.
It's just like people pushing prams and people doing all the things they do, you know, letting the Albons sit in the Lewis and giving them their seats and chatting and... A lot of people today, you know, up and down, you know, when I was watching, it says, fair play to you, Brolly, your righty is a cunt. I should say, I promised my wife I wouldn't call him that.
And does it affect you? Because, like, you know, I see the tweets and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And I was talking to a friend of mine who was saying, you know, I'd be having a nervous breakdown. But, like... And I'm in that kind of camp. I'd be, you know, I go to catastrophe. There's no AI program that's been invented that can read the catastrophic point of a scenario quicker than I can.
I know that.
You know, I just, there we are. Total catastrophe.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah. But you're like, I rang you last night. I said, I better just check in on Joe. And you were like, hey, brother, what's happening? I was like, I feel a lot
My mother says whatever she says, they may get in the queue.
But like, you don't, because like, you said this to me before, right? You said one day it just rolls into the next.
And yeah, I mean, it's, but also I think that I have really explored and read about conspiracy theories and hate. And I think we've both learned a lot about it through some of our guests. And I mean, all these, you know, these people who are piloted into this hate online, you know, whether it's refugees or trans people or gay people or, you know, paedophiles, rapists, groomers, you know, everybody's a paedophile or rapist or groomer. You know, they think that the conspiracy theory is unique and exciting, but all of these are rehashes of conspiracy theories that have been on the go for 100 years and more. I mean, it is true, you know, people say, oh, are you all right? They're just like, what do you mean? But you get like, and they always say gaslighting, globalist shill. I'll just hear some of them here. You know, here's one of the anonymouses. You're gaslighting concerned citizens who are right to worry about their children getting stabbed every other day. I mean, are they not? Are these people not making reports to the guards? Are the guards not coming on these? Are the bodies all being buried? I have read some vile Joseph Goebbels type liberal hatred before, but nothing as depraved as you, Brawley. So you're like, what? I thought it was relatively, you know, relatively empathetic, relatively ordinary type of a person. Here's at resting bitch face.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice fellow. Have you met Resting Bitchface?
No, but I'm looking forward to.
He's a lovely, lovely fellow. You know, he's a bit like a boy named Sue. He never forgave his parents. Hi, what's your name? I'm Resting Bitchface. Sorry, what was that? Resting Bitchface. Could you just say? Sorry, I'm not getting that. It's Resting Bitchface. I'll fucking kill my father. The hordes of undocumented men roaming our country, plaguing our children, attacking, harassing them, and creating terror. Our children are no longer safe in their schools or even able to play outside. I see them playing outside all the time. I'd imagine even adults are no longer safe when you have these groomers in their areas. It is not far right to exercise and expect your right to be safe. You are a twisted C-U-N-T. Or the glamorous brunette, it's not like me. And then there's a Dr. Anne McCluskey, who I think was a doctor at one stage. Traitor. it's all so weird, like, but it's all the same. Traitors like you are always looking for vindication. You are demonising the good Irish people of this country with your nonsensical slurs and distorted thinking. Globalist shills like you only serve the bankers who pay your media handlers and commit our people to serfdom. I feel like, and then, you know, you've got Conor McGregor, who's like, oh, if a building is earmarked for refugees, evaporate that building immediately. Ireland, we are at war. And they're all called things like, you know, Glow Rogan and God Emperor. I mean, Mr. and Mrs. Emperor must have had such high hopes for their firstborn when they named him God. You know, this he's going to go to Trinity and then Harvard. He'll probably find the cure for cancer. God Emperor, go into the world. And here he is, tweeting me. And this was my favourite insult of the millions that I've got. I can only say this. Joe Brawley wanks dogs. I mean, does he think that I work at a dog fertility clinic? Oh, Joe, just so Mr. and Mrs. God Emperor, if you just bring Rover down to the consultation room too, Mr. Brawley will be with you in a moment. Joe Brawley wanks dogs. And it's another interesting phenomenon is that they're all the victims. You know, they're all the righteous people who are being victimized by these hordes of imaginary, you know, these armies of trans people who are invading their
their bathrooms, their toilets, invading their sporting fields. And what are they doing, all these? I've not seen them, these armies of trans.
We shall assemble at dawn.
Well, it's interesting.
And attack. And attack. And attack the white Irish patriot and raise them from the earth.
The ghastly, trans, the ghastless white native Irish
trans people. Warriors of Ireland.
But that's how everything is framed. Everything is that sort of it's framed in that hugely kind of baroque, like everybody is now marching to save Ireland, and everything has to be framed in terms, you're right, in terms of this kind of conflict. And when you go out into the streets, or when you're like, when I was coming in here today, tonight I was thinking about it too. And you're like, most people are okay. Like most people aren't carrying this stuff around, escaping into this fantasy world. And I think, there's so many studies about people who are kind of radicalized online and then go down these rabbit holes. But I don't think there's ever been a time where, and like you're going to talk about conspiracy theories, but I don't think there's ever been a time when it's been as easy to be radicalized, because there's so much out there, and it doesn't matter. And this is the point, like we've been making, it doesn't matter. Like this is the thing. It is the fear. And okay, you call it hate. I kind of call it fear in some ways, because fear converts into hate. Like that is what it is, and it's a fear of the unknown, whatever the unknown is. And we all, like anyone who has any, is that like the quote, the Arthur Miller quote I mentioned last time was, everyone has a panic button. And as somebody who is constantly pressing the panic button, I know what that's like. Like I know what it's like to be kind of
anxious
and looking for things, floating or free floating anxiety, looking around.
Yes, and eating.
Eating Haribo.
A whole bag of fruit pastilles.
I've eaten one while I'm talking.
See, Vladislav Surkov, who's the sort of mastermind, the mastermind of Putin, he's his controller of propaganda. A guy that Goebbels could only have dreamed of being, or that Bannon could only have dreamed of being. He calls it a new system of political control. And he speaks very openly about it. And one of the reasons that he does that is because it confuses people, confuses his opponents. I mean, his whole idea, which he brought to Putin, was if we undermine people's perception of the world so that they end up not having a clue what's really happening, then we can do whatever we like. Because we can paint you as a strong man. You're going to be our Conor McGregor, our Trump, our any of these other sort of dictators, Hungary, all the rest of it. I mean, and one of the things that he did was that he made sure that neo-Nazi skinheads in Russia were really well funded. Right. He also funded parties that were opposing Putin and encouraged them towards extremism. And so all this turmoil is occurring on the streets. Ordinary Russian citizens didn't know what was real or fake, but what they could see was a strong leader stamping down on them, sending them to prison, sending out the troops. And it was, as Surkov describes it, a strategy of power that keeps the opposition confused and bewildered. And this is precisely how he talks about the war in Ukraine. The war in Ukraine is a flea on Russia's back. At the very start of that, he published a story about what he called non-linear war. He said the underlying aim is not to win the war, but to create a constant state of confusion and destabilized perception in people's minds in order to keep control. And that's why we've spoken a lot about the war on truth. This is essentially a war on truth, And you're right. I mean, people, particularly in poor areas, people who are working very hard and not seeing very much return,
they look around the world now. You know, they see what's happening and they see that, I mean, not a single person was prosecuted, right? In the banking system in Ireland for the endless, enormous financial crimes.
Mm.
But a shoplifter goes to prison.
Yeah.
You know, a guy who's a serial shoplifter who just wants to eat, he goes to prison. You know, billions come into the economy. But poor people don't see any dividend from that. You know, the billions go to the wealthiest.
Well, that's it. If you're working in a 0 hour contract,
yeah.
And you're working in an Amazon warehouse or something, it's amazing that then, like, from that, you can then be persuaded that the person you should be angry with about this is, like, you know,
fellow 0 hour workers.
Yeah, fellow 0 hour workers.
But that's the thing, you know, you confuse and you bombard people with simple messages, because, I mean, the point of it all in the end, as we've seen in America and in the UK, is to leave people in such a state of confusion and uncertainty that you leave them feeling powerless. They think, well, it's pointless to join a political movement. It's pointless to get involved in social activism because we're not going to be able to change things, you know. And that's precisely the point of the whole project. You know, as described by Steve Bannon in America, who was Trump's architect, as described by Surkoff, who's Putin's architect, you know. And we've seen exactly the same sort of thing being orchestrated by the European Research Group in the UK. You know, a deliberate, constant flooding the media and flooding society with lies. And, the prototype for all of this was a prank called Operation Mindfuck.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and that was invented in the late 60s by Kerry Thornley, who was sort of the founder of a satiric religion called Discordianism and a staffer at Playboy called Robert Wilson. And what they decided to do was, and they were really only doing it as a prank, but also to try and get people to think more seriously about the world around them. The point was to attribute all big problems, assassinations, calamities, to what they invented. They called it the Illuminati, right? And you'll hear the women in O'Connell Street making speeches about the Illuminati have come here and they're infiltrating our children and they're sending them all over here. They're not doing it themselves. They're all billionaires and other hidden hands. So they planted stories, Dion, about the Illuminati in the press, and they put mysterious classified ads into the papers. And they particularly used Playboy, which had a huge readership.
Mm.
And that came to their shock, it came to be taken seriously. And that eventually spun out in and around 2016-17 into QAnon, where you've got this conspiracy, which 25% of Americans in a recent poll said they believed was true, that Democrats, aided by Hollywood and a group of global elites, are running a massive ring devoted to the abduction, trafficking, torture, sexual abuse and cannibalization of children. And this is now spreading like wildfire amongst people because it's a bit like watching a Hollywood movie. It's exciting and it's not like turning on the news, listening to the news and thinking, oh God, same old stuff again.
But it also makes sense of the world. You know, it doesn't make sense of the world in a...
More than that.
Yeah, but
I think it's exciting in the way that a really gory video game's exciting.
But I think conspiracy theories...
excites your passions.
Conspiracy theories at least allow you, like, to believe that the world is just full of random chaotic events with very little control over it. And most of the time, most of the things that happen and go wrong are caused by a cock-up rather than conspiracy. Is kind of just... It doesn't allow for much to make much sense of it. Where, like, everything else, all the things that have given consolation over the years, including religion, have all been around to kind of allow you to make sense of the world. And conspiracy theories Okay, they also are exciting, but they also, they do allow allow some sense of kind of order where otherwise there's chaos. And if you're online all the time, there's no coincidence that all this accelerated during lockdown. When people were online all the time.
Absolutely.
But if you're online all the time, you can really believe, okay, life is tough and life is hard and people are struggling. But at the same time, if you go online, you can then think that, the world is a dark and desperate and miserable
place. And then you turn on the news and they think they're concealing all this from us.
Yeah, yeah.
None of this is true because we know that there are thousands of Pakistani and refugee grooming gangs and Ukrainian grooming gangs roaming the country, raping our children, sexually abusing them, impregnating our white women to get rid of the Irish bloodline. And why is this not on the news? What the hell? Mm. What do you call a boy who does the news every day? It's awful straight fella on RTE.
Oh, Ray, yeah.
Yeah, what the hell is wrong?
Ray, come on, Ray.
What the hell? Jesus, Ray.
For fuck's sake, Ray.
Just tell us the truth. We know it anyway. And this QAnon, for example, obviously it's an absolutely ridiculous, nonsensical thing. Not a single piece of evidence to support it. But it was borrowed itself from the Satanic Panic of the 1980s. That's what it was called, the Satanic Panic in America. And hundreds of thousands of otherwise ordinary Americans came to believe that secret groups of Satanists were operating out of daycare centres. So they stopped sending their kids to daycare centres because the Satanists were torturing and molesting children for rituals. Now, a landmark study was done on that. And what they concluded was that it made no difference that the parents were bringing home their children unharmed every day, that the parents could see for themselves that there was nothing going on in the daycare centres, that no bodies were being reported missing, that no children were reporting sexual abuse. None of that made any difference. Once the panic spread, and once the parents were communicating with each other in relation to that, by phone, there was no mobile phone in those days, and by talking, then you were the odd one out if you said, well, hold on a second. We're protecting our children. What the hell's wrong with you? Brolly, you globalist chill. Now that you've taken a break from wanking dogs for 5 minutes. What the hell is wrong with you? They're raping our children.
Stop wanking that dog, Brolly.
Jesus, we've got to get t-shirts made.
Put that dog down, Brolly.
McGregor is like, you're a subhuman scum, Brolly, you traitor, you yeah, coward, and it's all this, people said, to me, if you're so big, right, why don't you come out and fight him like a man? They're like, what? He's like, and then, millions of people put it, Brolly, you're a repulsive coward, you subhuman scumbag. Come out and fight McGregor like a man. He's fed up punching owl lads in the face in pubs from behind.
What would you do in that situation? Would you do like as you did with Andy McNulty and just make reference to kidney?
If you hit me, and I've only got one kidney, if you hit me and I die, it'll be manslaughter and someone's taping this.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the QAnon just moved on from that. And obviously it's not known who Q is, and that's all part of the sort of ridiculous mystique. But he went on to say, look, Satanist Democrats are, this is directly from the manual, farming children underground in order to harvest and drink their blood. Mm-hmm. Now that goes back to, that's linked to a very old conspiracy theory, the outrageous anti-Semitic blood libel. And that was one of the fictions that was used to dehumanize the Jewish people, ultimately leading in due course to the Holocaust. But that fiction was the Jewish people were stealing. This is not, and it shows you how people can be forced to depart from logic and reason by exciting conspiracies. The Jewish people were stealing and murdering Christian children in order to use their blood to make matzah. One of Larry David's favourite dishes. Who's making the matzah? I like a matzah.
But all, so, all, I mean, all
it's a very, very old conspiracy theory, just remixing old lies. And yet, you're now in a position where 25% of Americans in a recent poll said that the QAnon conspiracy was true.
But they did all accelerate as well during the time of the Clinton presidency. And, you know, if you go back, all those, like Hillary Clinton is at the heart of so many conspiracies here.
Well, and Trump, you see, Trump then became, the QAnon theory then, that conspiracy theory sort of adapted to include Trump as the savior of the world. I mean, this sexual molester who's been found to have raped a woman and been forced to pay, you know, a very substantial damages, who has, you know, I mean, no obvious sort of moral code. And yet, you know, he is going to be their savior. I mean, I work as a criminal barrister, okay?
Hmm.
And, you know, it's just a normal part of my life, so I don't take any credit for it. I treat everyone the same, and I don't care whether that's the most vile criminal offender or the Dalai Lama, you know. I mean, I genuinely believe deep down that people must be treated with respect and with dignity, regardless of what they've done or who they are. And, I mean, I've been thinking about this idea of our children being sexually abused and being sexually abused by migrants, etc. Now, I've been working as a criminal lawyer in the north and the south, in the north mostly for 32 years. And the statistics are very clear. It's overwhelmingly men who sexually abuse children. And they overwhelmingly know the child and the child knows them. So that approximately 93% of child molesters are known to their victims. You know, they inveigle themselves into their company. And whether that's priests, the Boy Scouts, uncles, granduncles, grandfathers, you know, almost 40% are family members. But that doesn't change the mindset of, okay, maybe the hate movement is a bit, but that's how it manifests itself. So part of it's a hate movement, part of it is a genuine but completely irrational fear and panic. But
see, this is where we come back to, there's a totally normal thing to want to do anything to protect your children. It is one of the most...
But that's what the law's for.
Yeah, but also there is a human need. Like, you wouldn't...
I appreciate
if your child is being attacked, you're not going to say, I'm going to wait for the law to
children,
take care of
But
this.
our children, apart from very rare examples, are not being attacked.
That was such
an extreme and shocking thing that happened in Parnell Square. I'm not sure that I will ever recover from that. You know, to see that child in that condition, and to be there for a prolonged period of time and watch that child struggle for life in circumstances that seemed impossible.
But the point I'm making is, look today, for example,
that lady who, and I don't know what all the circumstances are, but she killed two of her children and she was convicted of that. And what a horrific thing that is. But interesting thing about it is that that has not even moved the dial of the conspiracy theorists in Ireland and the hate movement. Nobody's gone down there. Nobody's out rampaging. Nobody's gone out to sort of beat up a bus driver or burn a Lewis down to say our children aren't being protected. You know, this is an unvetted woman. Why was she not vetted before she could get married and have children? You know, which illustrates how completely ridiculous it is, because the vast majority of murders as well occur domestically within the domestic.
The point I'm making is that that natural urge that everyone has is easy to exploit by people, you know, and it's easy to prey on. It's easy to prey on those fears, like all
Correct.
Fears,
Correct.
Like and like any fear and any fear of the, and like there was a piece, you know, by Fintan O'Toole about this week. But no, you like Fintan O'Toole, except when he writes from the north. You said this before in the podcast.
I will say this: if you praise either Bono or Ireland's Call at any stage,
I've never
during our time together, this is over. There are limits.
There were people that,
even for a humanitarian like me, there are limits.
I will defend Bonner.
Do not. When Damien Dempsey came on the stage in the three arena the other night, I was very privileged to have been asked to compare the peace night in the three arena for Gaza. Mm. And it was a huge crowd. It was great fun. And Damien Dempsey came on. I said, and now the juggernaut, the hour and the vein to Ireland's call, the antidote to Bono, the place went wild. And I just, even though my beloved wife had told me not to use the word, I said, somebody in the front row shouted up to me, he's a cunt as well. And I said, yes, he is a cunt.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah. But I know people who were there who are like, why did he lump him in as well? They were, you know, some people came away a little
bit.
Oh, can't
have me so lacking in any authenticity. Yeah. I mean, well, somebody like, the people who were there, Irish artists, genuine, you know, what's inside them's coming out. They're not figuring it out, working out what'll do well commercially, standing for nothing, believing in nothing. Okay, I just can't have them. Can't stand the music. I think it's absolutely superficial in every way. Can't stand everything about the whole shtick. You know, I'm sure, you know, American college students love it, but it has zero authenticity, you know.
Anyway, I want to go back to the Fintan O'Toole piece, because again, when
just cut that last bit out? It's apparently very litigious. I didn't mean any of that. It was a bit of fun. The point is this about the fact that most sexual offending occurs in the home.
Okay, go on.
This is like your email last week.
It's not. I was about to start speak again, and then you just jumped back in.
Yeah, between eating mouthfuls of fruit pastels
and
again.
You acknowledged afterwards that email section worked very well. You texted. This is what always happens. Cool. You're not listening during the podcast. Then you ring me up and go, that was quite good what you said. And I say, yeah, if you'd actually fucking listen during
it. You just completely made that up. All right. Okay. No, he didn't make that. It's true.
He said there were fascist riots in Dublin long before the city had any substantial population of immigrants. 90 years ago, when the city had scarcely a person of colour or even a foreigner, there were admirers of Mussolini and Hitler out in the streets setting things ablaze and baying for the blood of the enemy. In those days, the enemy was the Communist Party.
Yeah,
Communists.
And also the Jew. The Jew was a huge figure, because the Jew was Jew then was the global elite now.
Yeah,
the globalist shill who's behind, you know, all of the things that are wrong.
But the point about this is that it was, you know, again, it was there was always a fear of the other. So like, it's not like O'Toole's point was, it's not about immigration. It's not about
It's not about inner city poverty. They're just fantasies.
There will be always something that you can attach your fears to, and then there will be always people who will prey upon it. But what I, the one thing, you know, and you talk about, you know, the conspiracy theories and QAnon and Donald Trump, and like Trump rose to prominence through two things. One is celebrity, but also advancing a conspiracy theory around Barack Obama and birtherism. And he, you know, that he wasn't born in America and wasn't entitled to be president.
That was racist, obviously, and it was offensive. But it was quite mild, as conspiracy theories go.
But the point is that it tapped into something and allowed him to
racism
allowed him to get traction and allowed him, and eventually Obama had to kind of respond to it.
And it didn't matter. You know? I mean, all these people who are going around talking about protecting children and protecting women, it made absolutely no difference that there are 23 different women who have made serious allegations of rape and sexual assault against Trump. that Trump was recorded on the hot mic talking about just grabbing them by the pussy, just get in there and grab them by the pussy and all the rest of it. But the point is this, that you're not going to change these people's minds. And the evidence, for example, which I think is one of the key components of all these conspiracy theories that are infesting the UK, infesting the US, and the small number of sort of people peddling this in Ireland now, but a growing number online, that the conspiracy theory does its job regardless of the truth. So whenever, you know, these American conservatives take up the cause of child sexual abuse, right, with conspiracy theories and all the disinformation, they're taking the moral high ground. Doesn't matter whether it's real or not. You know, they're defending, they cast themselves, and this is the way somebody like Conor McGregor casts himself. You know, he's just following this stuff, right? They cast themselves as defending the powerless. We're defending the powerless. What the fuck are you talking? We're defending women and the voiceless and the people who feel disenfranchised. And, you know, they do this about abortion as well, as though they give one damn about women having abortions. They don't give a damn about that, but they cast themselves as defenders of the innocent. But the innocent victims, right, all these innocent child victims who are being raped all over the country by these roaming gangs and, you know, these elites and all the rest of it, they only exist in people's minds. None of them are real. I mean, this guy was tweeting me during the week. Well, you know, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl or what it was, you know. And they all have these grandiose titles, you know. Like superhero names and pictures of you know, statues of Julius Caesar, you know, looking terribly, you know, terribly imperious, you know. But he was talking about a school that he knows where multiple children have been raped, right?
Mm.
And then their bodies have been spirited away afterwards. So they've been raped, defiled, killed, spirited away. I was like, well, where is that? So, you know exactly where they are, you paid puppet of the globalist shills. And I think that, you know, the reality of sexual abuse, which is a very disturbing reality and has disturbing lifelong consequences. You know, I regularly have cases where someone who's committed serious offences, once you get a psychiatric evaluation, you look through the records, it often turns out that they were serially sexually abused as children, you know, which is monstrous and leading to a life of trauma.
Mm.
But that reality doesn't give you the big splashy headlines. You know, go in for Ireland, fucking get stuck into them. Go on, you can't. You don't get splashy headlines. You know, by saying, oh, there's a dark network of liberals, shills, you know, stealing your children. You know, the real reality is very, very sad and very, very lonely and requires a huge amount of input from really dedicated people, from volunteer counsellors, you know, to expert and sensitive professionals in the sphere. Because acknowledging that the real truth about how children are sexually abused in 95% of cases means often confronting very dark secrets, secrets in families and communities, and of betrayal, you know, of betrayal. And these are very difficult, very sorrowful and distressing realities. Much easier just to fire it out there as a banner headline, cast it almost like some superhero movie of good versus evil, you know. And then everybody on the other side who's trying to say, hold on a second, let's look at the facts of this. Oh, you fucking lapdog. You subhuman scum. Do you want, he supports the rape of our children. Well, there you go. There you go. And, and he masturbates dogs.
Yeah, well, sickening.
Sickening.